Now let's read together in God's Word in the Old Testament in the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 3 at verse 8. Ezra chapter 3 at verse 8. The people of Israel have been delivered from captivity in Babylon and have now been commissioned to rebuild the temple which had been destroyed. Ezra chapter 3 at verse 8. In the second month of the second year after their arrival at the house of God in Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Yeshua, son of Jozadak, and the rest of their brothers, the priests and the Levites, and all who had returned from the captivity to Jerusalem, began the work, appointing Levites 20 years of age and older to supervise the building of the house of the Lord. Yeshua and his sons and brothers, and Kadmiel and his sons, descendants of Hodaviah, and the sons of Henadad and their sons and brothers, all Levites, joined together in supervising those working on the house of God. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord, as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving they sang to the Lord, "He is good. His love to Israel endures forever." And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise, and the sound was heard far away. Thanks be to God for his word, and may he give us grace to understand and to apply. Now let us pray. God our Father, we give thanks that the Word which brought our universe into being, the Word which called your people into being, and the Word which sustained them until that moment when the Word became flesh, we thank you that this Word is present amongst us today. And we pray that in the power of your Holy Spirit, you would make your truth known to us through Christ, the living Word. Amen. Friends, it's been an enormous joy today to celebrate the centenary of this building in which we worship, a building that has evoked quite considerable degrees of admiration from visitors and others who worship with us. But as we were reminded this morning by Emily Campbell when she delivered God's word to us, today's celebration and the celebrations which will go on throughout this coming year are not just about a building. The celebrations can never be divorced from the celebration of a people who received a vision of what could happen here in this place, and who had the commitment to see that vision through to the end. And while we give thanks for the privilege of being able to worship in a place like this, we can never, ever forget to give thanks for the people who have bequeathed this great privilege for us. I believe that those people 100 years ago were probably not that much unlike the people we read about in the passage from the book of Ezra. It's an inspiring story. It's a story of a people who had been in captivity in a foreign land for 70 years. And then they have the opportunity to come back to Israel and to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. It had been a dreadful experience for the people. Not just that they were a captive people, but they had to contemplate the fact that the great symbol of God's presence in their midst, the temple, had been reduced to rubble. But now they can return to their land, and now before them is the opportunity to rebuild. And that work was carried out with a mixture of attitudes. A mixture of attitudes which I think quite probably were reflected in these people to whom we owe our thanks today. First of all, this people who rebuilt the temple were a people of praise. We read it, verse 10 of our reading, that when the foundation of the temple was laid, there was the sound of trumpets and cymbals as the people of God gathered to give praise and thanksgiving to their God. Now I reckon that when the people gathered for their service of dedication on the 12th of January 1906, that the worship probably was quite different from the worship of the people of Israel on that day. But at the heart of the worship surely was the same sentiment. And surely it weighed very heavily upon the hearts of these people that God had been good to them, that God had preserved them as a people, and that God had provided the resources that they needed to raise up this place in which we worship this afternoon. In a very real sense, we can say that the souls of the people of Israel returned from exile, and the souls of those Mogai people 100 years ago were very much in tune as they gave thanks to God for his goodness. And friends, that's a tradition that we need to carry on in this year, and a tradition that needs to go on well beyond this year, but never far away from our hearts is a sense of thanksgiving to God for all that he has given to us as a people. And even if there are days when perhaps it's difficult for us to give expression to thanks, days of disappointment, perhaps days of desolation in our spirits, surely all we need to do is to rise above our concern for material things and think of the benefits that have come to us through Jesus. That we as a people have heard of him and received his forgiveness and received his spirit, a spirit which will preserve us even through the experience of death and into eternity. The people of Israel were a people of praise. The people of Mogai 100 years ago were a people of praise, and we today have that obligation upon us always to be thankful to our God. They were also a people of faith, these people. If we look at verse 11 of our passage, we're told that with praise and thanksgiving they sang to the Lord, "He is good, and his love to Israel endures forever." Now that's quite something for these people to be able to say, after all that they had been through, the trauma of seeing friends and relatives perhaps destroyed by the armies of Babylon, the trauma of being taken captive and then hearing the news that the temple had been destroyed. But still these people sang, "He's good, and his love to Israel endures forever." You see, they weren't just making a joyful noise on that day when the foundation of the temple was laid. They weren't just singing because it was an obligation upon them. These people were singing because they knew deep within themselves that what they were singing was true. That their God was good. That his love endures forever. And that is the truth, no matter what kind of experience that they were going through at any one time. And that is what enabled them to go forward from this day and to face the challenges which came to them as a people. And they were many. Because we're told earlier on in this chapter that even as they began to build the altar of the Lord, that was the first thing that they built. Even as they began to build that, they were aware of the antagonism all around them. The countries all around Israel that didn't want Israel to be reborn and strong again. Peoples who would do all that they could to sabotage the plan of rebuilding. They were aware of that and they were frightened. But still they were able to say, he is good. And his love for us endures forever. And there's a challenge for us today, friends, as we think of these people so many thousands of years ago. And as we think of our own people who established this place of worship for us, a people who had to go forward from that day, knowing that despite the fact that the building had now been dedicated and was ready for use, that really this was just the beginning. And that's something for us to remember. We sing of God's love, we sing of God's goodness. Surely not because it's a nice idea. Surely not because we really can't face the possibility that God is not there with his love and his goodness. But surely we sing of it because we know it to be true. It's not just an idea in our heads. It's a reality in our hearts. God has come to us in Christ and made himself known to us. We have tasted, we have seen that the Lord is good. So these people so long ago, a people of praise, a people of faith. And in the end, we see them just as a people. We're told that it was a day of high emotions, mixed emotion, because some of the older priests, some of the older family heads, some of the older Levites, they remembered the old temple and they realized that nothing that was going to be put in its place would ever exceed the old temple for its beauty, for its majesty. And so we're told that even as people rejoiced, there were others who wept. They wept because they realized that nothing was ever going to be quite the same as it was before. And really, it's such a human attitude that we might regret it to some extent. And we heard this morning how there were people even within the congregation of St. Paul's 100 years ago who were vociferously opposed to the building of this sanctuary. But it's a very human thing for us to think that even on the best of occasions, even in the most sublime moments, it's not hard for things to be spoiled. How often have we gazed out at a glorious sight in God's creation, a seascape, a landscape, rolling hills, and suddenly we remember some awful task that we have to do when we go home. The sublime moments can so easily be spoiled by reality. But in the end, whether on that day people were rejoicing, whether on that day people were weeping, Still, they were God's people. They stayed together as God's people. And they faced the challenges together as they went into the future. And they faced the difficulties that would emerge as the building became harder and harder. Still, these people were God's people. And however they felt about the new temple, they went on. And they wept together. And they achieved together. And in the end, they knew God's truth within their hearts. They were a people of praise, people of faith. In the end, they were a people, but a people of God who went on and achieved in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Now let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you for every blessing that has come to us as your people. We pray that your Spirit would bless us now and enable us to know your peace and your assurance deep within our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.